Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome to today's Daily Bread. Hope you're having a great morning and afternoon or evening, wherever you're watching. Welcome all the people, precious people watching on Facebook Live, and all my friends and precious people on Instagram Live as well. It's really a pleasure to be able to come together. The technology, like the other day, I sent a thank you to our church members, just a little note just saying thank you. And what I'm thankful for, some of the things, and I'm thankful for people, because that's what everything's about. You know, this is how we reprioritize our lives during times like this. We realize what's very valuable, and people are the most important thing. People are the most important thing to God, and so people should be the most important thing to us. Winning people to Jesus, comforting people in their time of loss and suffering, praying for people to be healed and well. People are everything. People are, God so loved the world. It wasn't that God so loved the earth. I mean, the earth was great, but he so loved the world. He's talking about people, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, right? So, and I'm thankful for, one of the other things I said I was thankful for was technology, because here we have the technology to come together every day, anytime. I mean, it's really amazing. And yeah, there's, people can use technology to harm, or people can use technology to help, just like anything. Every good thing in life, every object in this world, whether it's money or technology or anything like that, it simply is an amplifier. It amplifies whatever condition your heart is in. If you have a generous heart, the more money you have, the more generous you're going to be. If you have a stingy heart, the more stingy you'll be, no matter what the amount of money is. And in the same way, if you have a heart to reach people with goodness and love and kindness and spreading the positive vibes that that God's given us, then that's what you're going to use technology for. And if you're full of negativity and complaining and whining, that's what you're going to use technology for. So it's simply, technology is simply going to amplify whatever is in your heart and mind, right? Anyway, I want to open up the floor today for, we haven't done this in a while, for any questions that you might have. So we'll take as many questions as you want. Just make the question right on the page that you're watching, and we'll take some questions in a few moments. So we welcome everybody. Just want to give a shout out to all you guys that are joining us, Shell and Monica and Brenda and Andrea and Rob and Gail and Keisha. Terry, welcome everybody. Welcome Lori. Welcome Theodora. Welcome Maribel. Welcome Monica. Welcome Laura. Welcome Kiana. Is that Kiana Reeves, or that's a different Kiana? Oh, got it. Kiana Randall. Okay. All right. Archana and Dave and Dowie and Donna and Abina, Nancy, Jim. What's up, brother? Good to see you, man. Welcome, everybody. Arlene and Terry. Bless you, Terry. Appreciate you, man. Miriam. R. Shilpa. God bless you. Mona. Marie. Donna. Terry. Karen. Karin. Des. Woo! Juliet. Where, Juliet, is Romeo, do you think? If he's in your life, congratulations. If he's not in your life, let's pray for Juliet to find her Romeo. We agree with you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody can receive that, in fact. Anybody believing for a Romeo to their Juliet, just don't follow the ending of that story, I guess. Can't remember it, but I don't think it turned out well. Okay, so welcome you any questions that you might have. In the meantime, don't forget, you can have the copy of this book. I'll send it to you absolutely free. It's my gift, no strings attached, the precious promises of the blood of Jesus. I actually, is this the one that we offer, or the, we offer the original one with the 30 days, or the new one?
The new one, 7 days.
So what I did was I rewrote this, and I rewrote this, I don't know, a couple months ago or a few weeks ago, can't remember when. And so I made it better, and I shortened it from 30 days to 7 days. but they're longer and they're stronger. And so be happy to send this to you as an upload. You can get this online as a download, upload. You can download it, gregorydickow.com/, what is it? gregorydickow.com/promises. And you can get a copy of this. You can only get a copy in e-form right now, the new version. Is that right? And you can get a copy of the actual physical book, the original version. So if you ask for a physical copy, we're going to send you the one with 30 days. If you ask for a download, or if you just click for the download, you can get the one that I revised. Okay. And it's really great. I'm going to read out of it real quick while you call or ask your questions as well. And it's Tuesday, and don't forget to join me tomorrow night for our midweek service and Sunday for our Sunday services. And again, if you have a question related to anything that we're talking about or anything that we're not talking about, as many as I can take in a few minutes, I will. But one of the things that I want to read out of this book, the Precious Promises of the Blood, are the gifts that the blood gives us. I want to talk about the gifts. The blood gives you several things. The blood of Jesus gives you several things. Number one, the blood of Jesus gives you absolute acceptance with God, approval and acceptance with God. It says, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved through his blood. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 talks about. So you're not rejected today. The first thing that you're given is acceptance. The blood of Jesus gives us acceptance. It gives us approval. Everyone in life is looking for approval. Everyone wants thumbs up. We want likes on our posts. We want loves. We want likes. We want comments. We want engagement. We want, what are we really looking for? We're looking for approval. And if you don't get your approval, if you don't go to God for your approval, you will look for it in all the wrong places, and you will give people too much power over your emotions and too much power over how you see yourself by needing their approval. God wants to free you from needing anybody's approval by giving you his approval, which is far above and superior to anybody else's disapproval or their approval. So according to God's word, when you accept the blood of Jesus, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are not rejected anymore. You are free from the spirit of rejection. You are adopted as a son or daughter to God, and you are accepted in the beloved. And by his blood, you are no longer living in disapproval and rejection, but you are approved. So you can resist the lies of that spirit of rejection. And by the way, AJ from the Philippines, shout out to you. Dessa from the Philippines. Shirley from Cayman Islands. Don't we wish that we were quarantined there now and always. Amen and amen. To the glory of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, got you covered there. Amelia from Sweden, God bless you. Beverly from South Africa. Albina from England. Sumita from Pakistan. God bless you, Pakistan. We send blessings over your life and over your nation, over your people, all these nations. We bless you in Jesus' name. So the blood gives us approval. And secondly, the blood of Jesus gives us access. I'm just reading from what you'll read in this book. I'm reading it as I wrote it. The blood gives you access. You have been given access to the throne of God's grace. You've been given access by the blood to the Holy of Holies. Like if you have access to a VIP concert or a VIP event of any kind, you have access that gives you the opportunity to go where nobody else can go. Well, we get access to the throne of God's grace. We get access to the Father. We get access to God's presence through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says it's by the blood that we enter into the holy place. We have access into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And we're so grateful for that. So you've been given access to the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. At any time of need, you can go right to him by the blood. You have been given access to the Father. The barrier of sin and separation has been removed. It's been removed. The blood of Jesus, thirdly, gives you authority. I'll stop here on this one in a moment, but the blood of Jesus gives us approval, it gives us access, and it gives us authority. Notice all of them start with the letter A. A is a good place to start in the alphabet. Blood of Jesus gives you authority. We have authority over the power of the enemy by the blood of Jesus. It says they overcame him, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. But by the blood, it starts with the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb gives us authority over sin, over the curse, over the devil, over our emotions, all those things. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Therefore, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Hey, what a promise that is in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Why? Because you are the head and not the tail. You've been given authority by the blood of Jesus as a king and a priest to rule and reign with Jesus Christ over all the power of the enemy. I love what Luke 10:19 says when Jesus says to his disciples, "Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." That includes viruses, that includes disease, that includes fears, that includes anxieties, that includes worry. Hey folks, we're opening up the world. We're opening the world back up soon. And some people are going to feel the need to stay home still. Some people are going to feel the need to be more cautious than others. Others are going to feel more freedom. No one is wrong unless you're living in fear. That's what's wrong. And that's what will keep you in bondage. Fear brings you torment. Fear brings punishment. Fear puts you in prison. And so when you understand your authority, fear doesn't rule you anymore. So for me, this is me personally, if the country, if our cities and states opened up today, I would live my life like I normally live my life, in faith and confidence that I have authority, and also in wisdom to not put myself in compromising situations that would be unsafe. Although in life, you are going to be in some unsafe situations sometimes, and you have to understand your authority. That's why people learn martial arts. They don't learn martial arts to go around and just, you know, look for a fight. They learn martial arts to understand the peace that comes from it, the techniques that come from it, the calm that comes from it, and the self-defense that comes from it if needed. So we have to look at all of God's promises that he's given us as tools of self-defense. If we do come in contact with the virus, we got the power of the blood of Jesus. If we do come in contact with the virus, we've got the healing hands of Jesus. If we do come in contact with anything else, we've got power. You need to know you are empowered by God to live victoriously as more than a conqueror. We got too much fear in the world today. We got too much fear, and we got to stop focusing on the voices that are feeding our fears, the media and government and all these forces. That's not how God intended us to live, dependent on the media, dependent on the government, dependent on other people's opinion of whether life is safe or not. The Bible tells us that we have authority, and we have dominion in this world through Jesus Christ. We have dominion. So stop living in fear. How? By understanding your rights, by understanding your authority, by understanding your power. If you had certain rights in America, if you have certain rights in Canada, if you have certain rights in China, whatever country you're in, you live based on the rights that you have in those countries. Well, as believers, we live in the rights that God gives us as believers. Okay, so the blood gives us approval, the blood gives us access, and the blood of Jesus gives us authority. I got a few more on that topic. We'll maybe go over with you tomorrow. But let me answer some of your questions real quick. Shell asks, how do you hear from God? That's a great question. This is how I hear from God. First of all, number one and first and foremost is God speaks to us through his word, through the word of God. But so much of the Word of God is misunderstood by people, so we have to have a filter through which we understand the Word of God. What is the filter through which we can understand the Word of God and it all makes sense? The filter is love. So the first voice, the first time we ever hear God's voice spoken to Jesus in the Bible is in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, and a voice came out of heaven and said, "You are my beloved, you are my dearly loved son, and in you I'm well pleased." The first voice that Jesus heard that we have recorded in the Bible, the first voice was the voice of love. I love you, son. I love you. So how do I hear the voice of God? Everything I listen to, everything I read in Scripture, it filters through the voice of love. The voice of God starts with the voice of love because God is love. So anytime I hear something that is like condemning or judgmental or fearful or fear-based, or if you don't do this, God's never going to do this and you better do this, or God's going to wipe you out, or God's going to smash you, or all of that stuff is contrary to love. You wouldn't do that to somebody you love. So God won't do that to somebody he loves, and he is love. He doesn't just have love for you. He is love for you. He is love, and he is for you. So does it, number one, does it line up with love? Number two, does it line up with Scripture? These are not necessarily in this order, just include these. Does it line up with love? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with peace? Is it meant to bring peace, or is it meant to bring you fear and anxiety and worry? Like, that's not hearing from God. I've had people give prophecies and say, "The Lord says he's going to do this if you don't do this." That's not prophecy. Somebody wrote me recently and said, "God spoke to me to warn you about such and such." And I wrote back and said, "Don't warn me of anything. I take my warnings from the Bible. I don't need your warnings. I don't need you to play prophet with me. I don't give you that access into my life. Don't give people access to just give you a word." Okay? Because if it doesn't line up with Scripture and doesn't line up with love, doesn't line up with the peace of God, makes you afraid. That's not God. Prophecy in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is for edification, comfort, and exhortation. If it doesn't bring exhortation, edification, or comfort, then it is not New Testament prophecy. And you can't apply Old Testament prophecy to New Testament people. You can receive the prophecies of the Old Testament as promises from God, but not warnings, okay? Blood of Jesus took all the wrath. Jesus took all the things that false prophets are trying to warn me of. Okay, that makes sense to you. I hope that helps with, and also you can get my book on how to hear the voice of God. I do have a book titled that. You can go to gregorydickow.com. I don't know, is it bookstore/bookstore? Or where do they go? Store? gregorydickow.com/store, and you can find my book there. And that's a great book. I really like that one. Some of the ones I wrote I don't like, so I don't talk about them. That's okay. Let's keep going. And the one I'm writing now is my favorite one of all. Right now it's called Soul Power. I'm on chapter, I don't know, 6 or something like that. But it's coming along. It's going to be the best book we ever did. And it's all about emotional health and healing, which is what everybody's going to need coming out of this thing. And a stiff drink. No, just kidding. Just the healing, all right? Have a stiff drink now. No, I'm just kidding again. All right, here we go. question, Pastor, what are some tips for starting over, starting a new chapter of life? I think the best tip to start over in a new chapter of life is to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for the bad chapters. Forgive yourself for where you screwed up. Forgive yourself for limiting yourself. Forgive yourself for not being in the new chapter already. Forgive yourself for not having turned the page sooner. I think self-forgiveness is a powerful way to start over. I think, and forgiving others, I think that's a great way to start over. And saying thank you to God and begin just a gratitude list is the best way to start anything, you know. And also, the Bible says you know, in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you begin anything, you should begin it with God's promises, God's Word. That's how anything should begin. So self-forgiveness, then other people forgiveness, then the absolute assurance that of your gratitude list, the absolute, you know, just like absolutely dismissing your past and thanking God for what you currently have. Because what you have, focusing on what you have, will power you into what God has for you in the future as you're thankful and grateful for what you have. Next question. If a genuine born-again Christian has prayed to speak in tongues but hasn't experienced the gift yet, what do I do next? That's a great question. Tongues is a beautiful gift, and it's available to anybody and everybody who asks. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. So I think you've got to dismiss the idea that maybe it's not for you. Like, dismiss that idea. Don't think, well, I didn't get it, so it must not be God's will. But I think the knowledge of Scripture is how you'll come into understanding it better, and it'll establish your faith. Faith comes from hearing. If you go to my website, gregorydickow.com, or is the Power of a New Life on Life Changers? LifeChangersChurch.com/salvation, and then ask for the book. It'll show you, it'll take you to a page that I think lists our book, a link that you can download of The Power of a New Life. And so LifeChangersChurch.com/salvation, and then get the book, The Power of a New Life. It's my gift to anybody today that would like it, the download copy of it, and the electronic copy of it. And chapter 3 in my book, or chapter 4 in my book, which comes after chapter 3, I'm not sure which one it is, but it's all about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it'll really help you understand. Little inside joke from the movie House Guest there. All right, great question, and such a beautiful gift, tongues. God doesn't want to shove it down your throat. He wants to bring it out of your throat. Okay, sorry, just playing around here. But you get what I'm saying. It's a beautiful gift. It's not something that God's going to force on you, but it is something that he makes available to us. Okay, how about a couple more? Would you guys like to hear a couple more? Of course, if you don't want to, you will have already left anyway. But and thank you for stopping by, though, for however long you can. How should I, let's see, once saved, always, the question is, once saved, always saved. Oh, do we want that kind of debate today? I don't know. Let me explain it to you this way, that if there was a way to lose your salvation, which I personally don't believe there is, because we're saved by his grace, not by works, not by our works, so that our works can't save us, so our works, our positive works can't save us, our negative works can't damn us once we're saved. But I could put it to you, I'd like to put it to people this way who want to fight for the argument of, no, you could lose yourself. So here's my kind of middle ground answer, although I'm over here on, I don't believe you can lose something that you genuinely have been given by God as a gift, because his gifts are without repentance. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. His gifts are without repentance. His gifts, he doesn't take back the gift that he gives. Romans 11, 29. If you look that up, it'll help really settle this for you. But for those that make the argument, no, you could lose it. Well, I believe if there's any way that you could even lose your salvation, which I don't believe, but if there is any way that you could, it would have to be by rejecting Jesus Christ and truly not believing that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. Because as long as you believe that, you're saved. And can you unbelieve that? It's hard for me to imagine somebody could actually stop believing that if they ever genuinely did believe that. And I know that people want to have arguments about Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 6, and I understand those arguments, and I understand out of context those things may sound like you could lose what God gave you, but really all the glory goes to him when you embrace the truth that you can't lose what he gives. All the glory goes to you if you can keep your salvation through something you do. All the glory goes to him if he keeps you saved because of what he did. Boom, shakalaka. Take that one. All right. So how do you take authority while wearing a mask at work, especially when you don't want to and you feel uncomfortable wearing them? You know, this is going to go away, the whole you got to wear masks stuff. Because the government started out telling us they don't help. Scientists, then they said they do help. And now, how does it go? If they work, then why can't all businesses open up? And if they don't work, then why are we told to wear them? It really is the ultimate kind of conundrum, or whatever the word is. It's a oxymoron. It's a paradox. If they work, why can't we all go to work? If they work, if the masks work, why can't we all go back to normal and wear a mask? Makes sense, right? If they don't work, why are we wearing them? Why are we being told to wear them? You see what I'm saying? Like, this is going to clear up. And by the way, when we announce our opening of when we're going to open back up the doors of our church, trust me that it's through prayer, counsel, advice, seeking God, making sure we have safety precautions. But when we open up, we're opening up with or without the government, because at some point, you gotta do what God says to do. So we don't want to battle. We don't want to fight. But, you know, I don't trust the government more than I trust God. So that's me. And if anybody wants to stay home, we'll have online services for everybody. So no, it's a win-win situation for everybody. We're going to open the doors and at some point soon. And anybody that feels in any way vulnerable, sick, or unsafe should absolutely stay home. Be it done to you according to your faith. My faith is to open at some point. Your faith may be to stay in your home a little longer, but at some point, everybody's going to come forth like Lazarus. It's time, man. We got to come out. Come out from the dead. Come out from the tombs. All right. Let's see. I'm a former Catholic. I still respect the religion, but have changed to a non-denominational church. Should I get baptized again? That's simple, by answering the question, did you get baptized already? I mean, if you count sprinkling as a baby in the Catholic Church, I would say, no, that's not baptism. That's a dedication. That's a consecration. That's parents who want to dedicate their children, and they call it water baptism, but it's not the baptism of the New Testament, which happens after you're saved. So after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you should get baptized. But you should understand it from Scripture. And we talk about, that's in our book also, I think, Power of New Life. We talk about baptism in water. It's very helpful. So how do you forgive someone if they keep hurting you? Maybe we'll end with this one. How do you forgive someone if they keep hurting you? Well, Jesus said, forgive them 70 times 7. But what you have to understand is the difference between them hurting, the difference between forgiving somebody and fellowshipping with somebody. So you can forgive somebody, but it doesn't mean that you have to re-engage at the same level. You understand what I'm saying? You, if you were in business with somebody who cheated you out of money and there was no recourse, you forgive that person, but you just never go back into business with them. You got me? So if someone keeps hurting you, you stay out of that toxic relationship. You know, you can't determine who knocks on your door, but you can determine who you allow in. And so you need to be wise in your associations. And be smart with your associations. And I think you'll... And remember, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a decision. And if you remember that, you make a quality decision. God forgave you because of the blood of Jesus. So that's the basis upon which we should forgive others, through the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says, as much as it has to do with you, be at peace with all men. So sometimes other people, they're not wanting to cooperate with that. But you have to first forgive yourself, because God already forgave you, and then it'll be easier to forgive others. You have to realize you're just as guilty as they are in other ways. And God forgave you freely, so you forgive others freely. But that doesn't mean that you associate with people. The Bible says, do not have anything to do with such people that are ungrateful and negative and gossipers. It says, avoid those kinds of people. So there is biblical precedence on not looking down on people or thinking we're better than them, but preserving and protecting our heart, our emotions, our minds, so that we're healthy. Okay, sometimes there are certain people that are unhealthy for you. So I hope that helps answer some of your questions. These are great questions. Man, I welcome them. I used to do a show every day for an hour live called Ask the Pastor. And so this is kind of Ask the Pastor. And it's great to have you guys join me. So if you need anything, let us know. I'd love to spend all day talking to you guys and fellowshipping with you. But I'll let you go for now, and we'll come back tomorrow. Same time, same channel. And know that if you need food or groceries, we have a food pantry. If you're in the Chicago area, if you need help in some way, please let us know. If you need somebody to pray with you, please call us at 847-645-9100, and either somebody will respond right away by answering, or they'll call you back and pray with you. So we're here for you. Love you guys. Thanks again, and see you tomorrow.